This is your Polycast for Wednesday, December 31st, the last day of 2008. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. Democrat Al Franken has increased his unofficial lead in the Minnesota Senate recount to about 49 votes over Republican Senator Norm Coleman. Franken netted a few more votes yesterday after the state canvassing board finished reviewing several ballot challenges from the two campaigns. The recount battle has now shifted to those wrongly rejected absentee ballots. Minnesota Public Radio's Mark Zedeklik has more.
Al Franken hasn't met with reporters for weeks, but following the canvassing board meeting, Franken released a statement saying he's glad to be ahead, that it appears he's on track to win, and that he's ready to go to work in Washington. Franken recount attorney Mark Elias did speak with reporters.
We're absolutely thrilled with where we stand. You know, we began this process many weeks ago, and we were down on election night, and we gained votes in the canvass. And then we began the recount saying that we would take things one step at a time. And now with everything except for the absentee ballots counted, we are leading by 50 votes.
Democratic Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid shares the Franken campaign's optimism, according to a statement Reid's office released yesterday saying it appears Franken will win. Not surprisingly, the Coleman side of the recount battle has a much different take on where things stand. Following the canvassing board meeting, Coleman attorney Tony Trimble reminded reporters the Coleman campaign still thinks upwards of 100 ballots were counted twice. Given that position, Trimble strongly suggested that a Coleman election court challenge is in the offing.
We're faced with an artificial Franken lead of double digits is all. There are 100 double-counted ballots, actually 110 double-counted ballots that will wipe out that lead and keep Coleman justifiably in front, and that's where we stand today.
Regardless of what the Coleman campaign decides about a court challenge, the work of the initial ballot counting and challenging is over. The focus now is on which wrongly rejected absentee ballots should be included in the recount. Local election officials from all over Minnesota have come up with nearly 1,350 absentee ballots they believe were wrongly kept out of the initial count. The Minnesota Supreme Court has ordered that only the ones that both campaigns also agree were improperly excluded can be counted. Local officials kicked off a series of meetings around Minnesota today for campaign officials to either accept or reject ballots those local officials determined should have been counted. The Secretary of State's office says only the pool of about 1,350 rejected absentees can be considered by the two campaigns because both failed to meet a Monday afternoon deadline to agree to add more ballots. Still, the Coleman campaign has been demanding that upwards of 650 rejected absentees be added to the review pile. Deputy Secretary of State Jim Geldman told the canvassing board as the review process got underway, there were problems because in some cases the Coleman campaign was insisting new ballots be added.
Things are not going as smoothly as we hoped. We will continue to work with the local officials and the candidates to try and iron out some of these disagreements.
Coleman campaign attorney Tony Trimble insists the rules do not prevent him from adding ballots at this stage, and Trimble accused the Secretary of State's office of siding with Franken on the issue.
The Secretary of State and Mr. Geldman, as the deputy administering this at this point, has gone to join himself at the hip with the Franken campaign.
Secretary of State Mark Ritchie was emphatic that the rules are clear and that because the two campaigns did not come to agreement to add ballots by yesterday afternoon, only those identified as wrongly rejected by local officials can be considered.
It is not that complicated of a rule. It is under the order of the Supreme Court of Minnesota, and it's a very straightforward thing that's fairly easy to read and interpret.
Despite early problems agreeing on absentee ballots, Ritchie said he's confident the work will continue on schedule and that his office will have the ballots that both sides think should be included in the count by this Friday's deadline. Ritchie says his office is planning to count those ballots on Saturday. The canvassing board will then reconvene Monday afternoon to begin reviewing any absentee ballot challenges. Ritchie says the board could finish its work as soon as Monday, depending on how many challenges it will have to review. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
2008 was an expensive year for many Americans. Home values plummeted, wages were stagnant, and the cost of basic necessities such as food and fuel increased significantly. For some people, that made it even more challenging to pay for their health insurance. Minnesota Public Radio's Lorna Benson has more.
Suzanne Lucas and her husband have paid off the big bills in their life, including their cars and the loan on their home. But even though they're both still working, the 60-year-old St. Paul woman says they can't keep up with their medical expenses.
We are using credit card and our home equity line of credit. And with both of those, so far we are $4,000 in the hole.
The Lucases have medical insurance, and yet their out-of-pocket medical expenses still totaled $12,000 last year. Suzanne says most of the money went for medications and doctor's visits due to a few chronic conditions. She expects their health costs will remain at that level for the next few years.
We're just living in debt until we are both 65 and get Medicare. And that's what we're looking forward to, because it'll be so much better with Medicare.
The Lucases aren't alone. A Kaiser Health tracking poll this fall found that one in three Americans has had problems paying medical bills in the past year. That's up considerably from 2 years ago, when one in four people reported having trouble keeping up with health care costs. And it's not the only poll to show this trend. In October, the Employee Benefit Research Institute, based in Washington, D.C., released its annual Health Confidence Survey. Researcher Paul Fronston says a third of his survey's respondents said increased health care costs made it difficult to pay other bills.
They're having trouble paying for basic necessities like food and housing. They are using their credit card. They are declaring bankruptcy. They're using up their savings to respond to higher health care costs.
The economy is making the situation worse, but there are other reasons people have been having more trouble paying their medical bills. In recent years, employers have been passing on a bigger share of health care costs to their employees in the form of increased premiums, copays, and deductibles. Fronston says in 2008, the average deductible for employee-only coverage in small firms surpassed $900. To compensate for those higher out-of-pocket costs, Fronston says nearly a third of people surveyed by his organization said they were cutting back on contributions to their retirement plans. More than half said they were putting less money toward savings. But Fronston is seeing one trend that troubles him more.
A quarter of the population tells us that because of rising costs, they're either not filling their prescription or they're not taking their medications that they should be. And that could have a detrimental effect towards health care because people are going to be sicker.
George Fisher is cutting back on his medications. The 64-year-old Bloomington man has prescriptions for six drugs. But when the copays on some of them increased recently, he says he had to make some tough choices.
Four is about all I can afford per month, and there are two others that I'm not taking.
Forgoing those two drugs isn't life-threatening in Fisher's case, but he says it does cause him some minor discomfort. To cope, he's trying to take better care of himself. Buying healthier food was part of his strategy.
But the prices go up, so I'm back to eating the bad stuff again. Like the hash browns and the wieners and the things that are cheap to buy.
There may not be much right now that people can do to get a handle on their high medical expenses. Legislators passed a major reform initiative last year to try to help rein in costs, but the state's projected $4.8 billion budget shortfall in the next biennium could put some of those programs in jeopardy, along with many jobs that are dependent on state funds. Shannon Woolman works for an independent living organization that gets money from the state. She and her husband have nearly $3,000 in medical expenses from surgeries they both had this year. She hopes to keep working to pay off her bills, but she's more anxious about her job since hearing about the state's budget crisis.
I am concerned that it may affect my job in one form or another. So that does make us quite a bit nervous about the medical bills and just future medical expenses.
Woolman does have a fallback plan if she loses her job. While it's not ideal, she says she can tap some of her student loan money to help pay her medical bills. Lorna Benson, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
That's your Polycast for this Wednesday. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. I'm off again tomorrow to celebrate the new year. I hope you have a happy and safe new year, too.